You're listening to a 95BFM podcast. Now it's time for our weekly chat with Labour MP Andrew Little.
Yes. My mic. Yes, I spoke to Andrew Little, my mate.
Did you?
I did.
That's good.
We had a good chat. Apparently the weather is miserable up in Wellington.
Well, up in Wellington.
Down in
Wellington. Yeah.
Always do that one. Anyway, we spoke about the possible referenda we will be having in the sort of
plural
election.
Game.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's many of them. Too many to talk about, although we did.
Oh,
and
of course.
Also, he had a pretty secretive little meeting with some US intelligence officials.
Oh, hush hush.
Well, it is pretty hush hush. He didn't really tell me terribly much. But yeah, good little interview. Here's Andrew.
Lips are sealed, but I hope your ears are open.
US intelligence officials were in town the other day. Was the ban on Huawei's 5G technology discussed?
I met with some US intelligence officials. I don't talk about what I talked about there, but to be very clear, the decision about that GCSB has made in relation to the use by Spark of Huawei technology is made under our relevant legislation. We have criteria about that. It's based on an assessment that we and our agencies do on assessed national security risks. That's the only basis on which it's done, and that's what happened in this case. There's still a process to go through Spark if you decide what they do in response to that, but we make those assessments on the basis of information we get and on our terms and for our needs.
So was the meeting just a routine one?
Yeah, well, I meet probably once or twice a year with various senior officials from different security and intelligence agencies from different countries. Given these parts of my portfolio now, if they're in town, not always, but sometimes they'll make a call on me. Equally, if I'm travelling overseas, sometimes it'll be put into the program I do. I'll meet with counterparts in other countries.
And in this area, I mean, does New Zealand sort of toe the line in regards to what America wants?
Look, I know there's a lot of commentary that says that, and I'm sure that if there was a different decision, we'd be accused of towing the Chinese line or being afraid of standing up to China. You sort of can't win on these things. We have an independent foreign policy. We have friends and allies and countries we work closely with, some more closely than others. In the end, we've got to act in our best interests and do what is right for us. And when it comes to our telecommunications network and our infrastructure here, given the responsibilities that, in this case, the GCSB has under our TICSA legislation, Telecommunications Interception Capability and Security Act, they have an obligation to work with telcos when they want to change their infrastructure, and we've got to make decisions accordingly. So we do that on the basis of the assessments that we make.
Can you talk about anything that was discussed at the meeting?
No, I don't tend to talk about the content of those meetings. But I do have them. It is true. There's a whole lot of things going on. Look,
Was it a productive meeting, do you feel?
It was a meet and greet. It was... they come to town, they deal with our security agencies and stuff, and if I'm around and got time, depending on how senior they are, then I'll agree to meet with them. A lot of it is just confirming that the relationship's good, or if it's not that good, we know why it's not that good, what we can do better. We're a small country, and we have to work with others to make our kind of security regime work. We have obviously very close relationships with Australia, we have close relationships with the US, other Five Eyes countries, but actually we have close relationships with plenty of non-Five Eyes countries as well. We work closely together, but we have to, and all countries have to, because a lot of the threats, cross-border threats that we're facing are the same, so it pays to cooperate.
And you said, depending on how senior they are, you'll meet with them, and you did meet with them, so was Director of National Intelligence Dan Coats there?
You need to check with the US Embassy about that. They've asked that I not disclose who I met with. It wasn't, but I have to say it was senior. But that is all I can say. Yeah.
Okay, moving on. You've floated the possibility of three referenda before next election. What could these be?
Well, we have a commitment, an agreement with the Green Party to have a referendum on personal use of cannabis or legalising personal use of cannabis. That has to be at or before the 2020 general election. It is increasingly looking like it will be at the time of the 2020 general election because we're running out of time to do it at any other kind of sensible time. Is that as we've had a discussion about that, the issue about electoral law reform and particularly fulfilling the recommendations of the original 1986 Royal Commission on our electoral system has come up, and whether we do make the final step of having the threshold at 4% of the vote in order to get a seat in the House, and removing the one seat sort of coattailing provision. That's simply being discussed at the moment. But the other is David Seymour's bill, and David Seymour has been in touch with me. He's kind of routinely in touch with the progress of his bill, partly because in his discussions with other parties, it has emerged that he can secure some votes in Parliament if he makes his euthanasia legislation subject to a referendum. So he's been talking to me about that possibility. So that's kind of all, nothing has crystallised yet in relation to the electoral law stuff or the end-of-life choice bill stuff, but it is all floating around at the moment as possibilities.
And you've spoken previously about the concerns around if we were to have the cannabis referendum at the time of the election, it could sort of dominate the discourse during the election. Are you worried that this could still happen?
Yeah, I mean, obviously that's been a point of discussion about it. There's cuts two ways. One is that if you have a good public education campaign and good debate about it well before the general election, and I would expect we would do that next year, then it needn't dominate the election campaign. It might, in terms of get out the vote, it might be kind of relevant to that. But equally, you know, this is a government that will want to be able to stand on its track record and talk about what it's done. And it's certainly done more than just, you know, put together a regime of drug law reform. I mean, we're doing the medicinal cannabis stuff at the moment. That's coming through Parliament. We've got the recommendation from the Mental Health and Addiction Review Committee that has made a recommendation about our drug laws and decriminalising. So that stuff's all swirling around at the moment. Whether it dominates an election, I think, you know, it is a possibility, but it is only a possibility. There's plenty more water to go under the bridge.
And with the possible MMP referendum, do you think MMP needs refining?
Oh, I just think we've seen instances in the past where a party has got over 4% but less than 5% and gets no one in Parliament. Another party gets, you know, 2.5-3% but a seat, and they get 3 or 4 members in Parliament, and that is unfair. And actually, the most obvious scenario where that happened was in 2014, and it was the Conservative Party that missed out. So this is not the left looking after its flank sort of thing. It could happen on either side of politics. The Royal Commission looked at it very closely in 1986. They made their recommendation about 4%, and several reviews of MMP and the way it operates since then, including as recently as, I think, 2013, the same recommendation has come up, but nothing has been done about it. In fact, I think the National Party, when it was in their court, and they could have actually done something about it, they said they consulted all the parties in Parliament and not every party was in agreement. It turned out that the only party that wasn't in agreement was the National Party. So I don't go for that. There's a rationale to it. It goes back a long way, and I think it is time for us to embrace it.
And especially in regards to the cannabis referendum, when will we find out if it's binding?
Well, that's one of the decisions that Kevin has to make. So I'd like to hope that the decision will be made before the end of the year. We've only got a couple of cabinet meetings left, so we'll see. But certainly, the kind of homework has been done on it. It's just a question of consultation and then getting to the point where we can get a decision. The cabinet agendas are getting pretty packed now for the last 2 or 3 years. So hopefully, if not by the end of this year, then certainly pretty early.
Do you have a personal view on whether or not it should be binding?
Well, I think the only way that a referendum on cannabis is going to work is if people understand what the alternatives are. We know what the status quo is, but if there's going to be an alternative, which is legalising cannabis, people need to know the full ramifications of it. So we'd have to do all the work of working out what a legal framework is for that, in which case, having done that, it's easy then just to have a yes-no vote. Do you want this or don't you? In which case it should be binding. So that's the view I'd
That was Labour MP Andrew Little. The Wire. That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.